Okay, chevra. So we're learning Masecha Sota, Daf Dalid Amid Beis. Last time we learned.
He's an ENT. He has a walkie-talkie.
Yeah, Yosef, you have to be quiet.
You might not tell him what he did. How do you like my hat?
Baruch, can you just take Yosef away, please?
Never.
Okay, so the last time we learned, can everyone hear me? Thumbs up. Okay, so the last time we learned, we saw the statement of Reb Zreika that if someone is mezalzel benetilas yadayim, so the person is nekar min ha'olam. And what we discussed is that there seems to be two other possible onshim that you get, one being poverty. And we also spoke about the onesh of a person's mezalzel benetilas yadayim. So there's also the onesh of nidui. That's what we spoke about. And we noted that Shulchan Aruch quotes all of these. And we pointed out that Shulchan Aruch seems to be in line with the Shita of Rashi rather than the Shita of Taisvis. Because for Taisvis, there are different dinim. It depends if I am not doing the Tilas Yadayim one time, or if I'm not doing the Tilas Yadayim many times. Zakti Gemar Vaiter. I'm Evchei Bar Ashi, I'm a Rav. Mayim Rishonim Tzarech Sheyagbia Yodov Lamala. Mayim Acharonim Tzarech Sheyashbio Yodov Lamata. When you do Mayim Rishonim, you have to lift up your hands, right? You have to be Magbia Yodov Lamala, right? We got it, okay? And Mayim Acharonim, so you have to put your hands down below. There were Rishonim who had a girsa over here that the reason why Mayim Rishonim Sarshi Agbiya Yadav Lamala is because the pasuk says Va Yigbehem Vayinasaim. Right, that there's a pasuk that says that you lift up your hands. Alternatively, others have the girsa that the pasuk says Su'uya Dechem Kodesh. But basically, according to many of the Rishonim, the reason why you have to lift up your hand is to fulfill this element of the pasuk. However, Rashi and most Rishonim don't learn that lifting your hands is to fulfill this chashuva ingin. Rather, Rashi and the other Rishonim give us some lumdus as to why. But before we get there, I want to read a Rashi. Let's read two Rashis with you. Mayim Rishonim, Zot Rashi is Mayim Shalifnei Hamazon. Okay, that's the water before I eat. Next Rashi, Sheyagbia Yadav. Rashi says, Roshei Etzbaosav. Okay, show me with your hands. What are Roshei Etzbaosav? Right? That's Roshei Etzbaosav. The top of your fingers, you have to lift them up. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Now, there is a question why Rashi says this, and there are two different shitos as to why. We would have thought that Sarshi Agbiya Yadav means that you lift up your whole hands, like the palm also. Rashi says it's not the palm, it's just the fingers. Now, I know that you're thinking, and you're probably like trying around, is it possible to lift up your fingers and not lift up your palm? Sophia, this is the type of thing that you've probably tried at some point in life, no? So lift your fingers without lifting your palm. Maybe not. Okay, you're on mute, so I can't hear you. Don't worry about it.
Okay,
what?
In the past week, I've really been thinking about how my hands are supposed to be.
This is the type of thing you would think about. I know you. Perfect. Now, but basically, the Gemara says that you have to lift up Sheyagbia Yodav, and Rashi says that Yodav means your fingers.
Abba, can you answer my question?
Now, the reason why Rashi says lift your fingers is... Can you hear me, Chevra?
Yes,
okay, good. So the reason why Rashi says lift your fingers, according to the Bach and the Magen Avraham and many, is based on a Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Vav. The Gemara in Chulin Daf Kuf Vav tells me that there are different areas for Netilas Yadayim. It says that Netilas Yadayim is for chulin is ad haperek, for truma it's ad haperek, and for avoda it's ad haperek. That's the way we have it. So it would seem like these are all the same thing, but nonetheless, in the Gemara over there, Rav, and our Gemara is also according to Rav, right? Our Gemara is Rav Chiya bar Ashi Omar Rav. It's the same fellow, Rav. Rav says that the perek means three different things. Perek, when it comes to Netilas Yadayim for Chulin, Rashi says is until what we call the second knuckle. Now, you probably don't realize this, unless you're double-jointed, you probably never notice that there is a first knuckle that you have also, no? The top of your finger, on your thumb, you could see it, no? There's like one knuckle that sticks out, right? See that? So the top of every finger has one knuckle. The second knuckle is the knuckle for Netilas Yadayim, according to Rashi, which is the middle knuckle on your fingers. For Truma, you have to wash until the area that your fingers connect with the palm of your hand. And for Avoda in the Beis HaMikdash, according to Shitas Rashi, you have to wash until your palm of your hand connects with your arm. Right? So according to Rashi's read of the Gemara, it is 1, 2, 3. Right? Let's go. 1 is the fingers. 2 is where the fingers connect to the palm of your hand. 3 is where the palm of your hand connects to your arm. Yes.
Why would it use the same word for three different things?
Yeah, so it's a little bit confusing to use the same word for three things, but the idea is that there are different knuckles. It's the same word called knuckle. And if I try to talk about knuckles, so you have to clarify what's a knuckle. So perek, perek, perek. And the assumption is that everybody knows that for Avoda and the Beis HaMikdash, you have to have more of Netilas Yadayim. So by the way, based on Shitas Rashi, you know, when we wash our hands, let's say, on Tisha B'Av, on Yom HaKippurim, we don't wash all the way until the wrist. On Tisha B'Av Yom HaKippurim, we wash until the middle knuckle, because basically we're saying that the Ikar Netilas Yadayim is until the middle knuckle. For Rashi, it would be even less than that. But we do a little bit more just in case. Rashi's Cheshbon is probably something along the lines of when people eat, they eat with the top of their fingers, no? Again, you're not supposed to eat with your hands. But if you, you see, you have a salad. Right? I'd ask for a demonstration, but that might be a little too revealing. But when you eat with the top of your fingers. So since you eat with the top of your fingers, Rashi says that's the only thing that really requires Netilas Yadayim. Atara, you seem to be having much too much fun. Okay, weiter. Now, the Balei HaTosfos disagree with Rashi. The Balei HaTosfos say that there's no svara to wash until the middle knuckle. Rather, according to the Balei HaTosfos, perek, perek, perek means that you have to wash Netilas Yadayim me'ikar hadin until the place where your fingers touch the palm of your hand. For Truma, you have to wash until where your palm of the hand touches your arm, till the wrist. And when you do Avodah and the Beis HaMikdash, according to the Balei HaTosfos, you have to wash all the way until your elbow. Right? So Rashi and Tosfos disagree about what perek, perek, perek is. So says the Bach, that Rashi by us, when Rashi says, Tzorashi Yagbiya Yodav, Rashi says, Rashi Etzba Isab, the top of your fingers, you have to lift them up. What that means is that you only have to lift up the top of your fingers, because the only Netilas Yadayim that you have to do is until that middle knuckle on the hand, and that's actually very doable. Like if you could see my hands over here, I don't know if you could see my hands, but I am now lifting my middle knuckle. So it's possible not to lift your hand, but just to lift your middle knuckle, according to Rashi, because Rashi's Shita is that the only thing I need to do Netilas Yadayim on is until that middle knuckle. Netilas Yadayim for bread is only until the middle knuckle, that's Shitas Rashi, and the way the Bach learns the Rashi by us, that's what Rashi is saying. Okay, Chevra? Abigail, we're doing good?
Yeah.
Okay, thumbs up. Excellent. In Azrieli, they teach you that you could, like, survey an entire class by just, like, asking everyone to, like, write something on the whiteboard that they understand or they don't understand to put thumbs up, right? So, like, I could do that over here, even though I have, like, people in many different locations. You could ask a thumbs up if you understand. And, okay, there you have it. Good, Chevra? Let's go weiter. Now, that's the Shita of Rashi, as understood by the Bach. However, there's another Shita of Rashi, as understood by many poskim, and the Mishnah Brura seems to go like this. I gave you a few different Mishnah Bruras. I gave you Kuf Samach Beis, Sifkat and Aleph, Sifkat and Gimon, Sifkat and Tes. I forget which one of these is the Mishnah Brura that I'm referring to, but the Mishnah Brura basically says a Yesod that, let's go on in the Gemara. The Gemara says, I have to lift my hands. Why do I have to lift my hands? If I don't lift my hands, there's some concern that the tummy water will end up getting back onto my hands. So I have to lift my hands to make sure the tummy water doesn't come back. So the Beis Yosef asks Akasha, one second, dude, the Beis Yosef says, why do you have to lift your hands to make sure the tummy water doesn't get back onto your hands? Hold your hands down, and that way the tummy water won't get back onto your hands. See, if I hold my hands down when I wash them, like I'm doing now, right, like the platypus look, so if you hold your hands down, so then the water also won't come, the tummy water won't come back on your hands. So why does the Gemara say that you have to lift it up? So again, if you have the gear, so based on the pasuk, vayinatlin vayinasa'im, I understand why. But if it's not based on the pasuk, why do you have to lift your hand? That's a Beis Yosef's kasha. So some suggest, and the Mishnah Brura likes this approach, that if I hold my hands down, I might not wash my entire hand. Because if my hand is down, I pour water on my hand, the outside of my hands will get wet. But the top of my fingertips won't get wet. So I have to lift my hands up, according to the way the Mishnah Brura learns. Because when I lift my hands up, the water will go over the entire fingers. And the Mishnah Brura comments that those people who wash the tilas yadayim, and they like hold their hands like this, you know, like they're doing a karate chop or something, or whatever. So those people are not properly doing the tilas yadayim. Because if you want to properly do the tilas yadayim, so then you have to hold your hands up, and when I hold my hands up, the water will, pardon me, the water will get everywhere. Is that a question, someone? Sophia, yes. Just unmute yourself.
Wait, so are we supposed to wash our hands while it's like this?
Yes. Now Sophia is asking a very good question. If I hold my hands up when I do Netilas Yadayim, right, isn't there like some chasana dance like this or something? I don't know. But if you're doing that when you're doing Netilas Yadayim, so there's a problem that you can't pour the water on your hands. No? Is everyone sensitive to this problem? Because if I pour the water, one hand is going to be down. And if that hand is going to be down while I'm pouring the water, so my same problem that the tummy water would get on my hand will exist. So therefore, the Mishnah Berurah writes that this idea of lifting my hands up only makes sense if someone else is pouring the water on my hands for me. So this is a big chumrah. Okay, what you do is you call someone in the cafeteria and say, I have to do Netilas Yadayim. You hold your hands up and they pour the water on your hands. Sounds good, Chevra?
What?
Thumbs up, down, hands up, down. Thank you, Abigail. Okay, so this is the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Now, the Tosfos HaRosh and the Rash in Maseches, well, actually, before I get there, let me do two more points. Rashi learns the Gemara, based on the next line, Shemeyetz umayim chutz leperek v'yachzeru v'yitam u'es hayadayim. Right, the concern is that maybe some water that leaves the hand is going to come back onto the hand and make my hand tummy. That's the basic issue in the Gemara. Now, what exactly is that concern? So there is a little bit of a girsa issue here in the Mishnah in Yadayim, but we'll just try to simplify things. According to Rashi, the issue is that if I Remember, we pour water on our hands twice. Let's just give some background. Tumas Yadayim is very weird. You see, throughout B'chol HaTorah Kula, either I'm Tamei or I'm Tahar. And if I'm Tamei, my whole body is Tamei. If I'm Tahar, my whole body is Tahar. This notion that part of me is Tamei and the rest of me isn't Tamei is really very super weird.
Am I muted?
No? Yeah?
Okay. Well, like, is Tumas Yadayim the same type of Tuma as, like, of Tuma? Or is just, like,
theory? So Tumas Yadayim is a special Tuma Midrabbanan. We passing that Yadayim are Shnios L'Tuma. But my Yadayim, Shnios L'Tuma means second degree Tuma, which can make Truma and Kodshim Tamei. And we treat lechem like with the stricture of truma, and that's why we wash our hands for lechem. That's the basic idea. That's tumas yadayim. Now, tumas yadayim is this weird type of tuma. My hands are tamei midrabanan. When I pour water on my hands, so miraculously what happens is the water takes the tuma off of my hands, but now that water becomes tamei. So then I need to do mayim shniyim. I need second pouring of water. Because what the second pouring of water will do is the second pouring of water will get rid of the tamei water that's on my hand.
But won't the second water just get tamei from the first water?
So apparently, this entire din derabbanan, this construct of tumas yadayim, is only set up in a way that the first water becomes tamei. The second water does not become tamei. That's the. Now, Abigail, is that a question that you have? Is that a hand up?
Why is there Natila and not, like, why don't we dunk our hands?
So you could dunk your hands also. You could dunk your hands in a mikveh. And that will
but
do the same.
Have to be a mikveh?
Well, it would have to be some water that is considered tahar water. Our batim sa'ah of water is tahar in all situations. Other water has lower standards of tahara. If I dunk my hands in a mikveh, it certainly will become tahar. The only thing is, most of us don't walk around with like a mikveh in our back pocket all the time. It's easier to find water than to find a mikveh, so that's why we do netilas yadayim rather than tevilas yadayim. Sarah, is that a question? Just unmute yourself.
Okay, sorry, two questions. So the first question, when you're pouring the second, okay, I just don't understand, so you're pouring the first water on your hand, so then your hands are now tahar, and the water is tamei. If you have tamei water on your hands, doesn't that then tamei your hands?
So frek the chazan is shekash on meseches yadayim. Why does the tamei water on my hands not make my hands tamei themselves? And that is a really, really strong kasha. Why does that tamei water not make my hands tamei? So the Chazon Ish says something where he writes that mayim rishonim ushniyim bitziruf is metaher the yadayim. That somehow the mayim rishonim is tamei, but it's the type of tuma that only came from the hands, and since that tuma came from the hands, it doesn't have the koach to be metamei the hands again. Let's say that tamei water would go against the wall, and then my hands would touch the wall, then my hands would become tamei again. But kol zman that water is on my hands, there is some miraculous din. The chiddush of netilas yadayim is kol zman the water is on my hands, it doesn't re-metamei my hands, but that water is tamei, and as tamei water, it could potentially make stuff tamei again, so I gotta get rid of that tamei water.
Quick question.
I'm sorry, who's speaking now? Elisheva. That's you. Hi. How are you?
Okay. To get rid of the tuma, you have to actually do it like three times on each hand. or like 2 times?
2 times on each hand. Alternatively, some Rishonim say you don't have to do it 2 times on each hand. If I would be able to dry off my hands very well after the first washing, then it would be grand. Because I just made... But we're worried that you might not do such a good job of drying your hands. So therefore we say, use a second water. Again, there are Rishonim who disagree with this assessment, but this, I think, is a simpler take.
And what about also, like, you know, in general, like, after you touch your shoes or, like, scratch your head or anything, right, or, like, before you daven, do you have to, can you just, like, wash your hands or you have to do... Like,
so again, so most of those cases, like, if I touch my shoes or I scratch my head, most Rishonim understand that those deen are just because your hands are dirty and you're not allowed to daven with dirty hands. So technically speaking, if... To get rid of dirty hands, I could use komi di dimenaki. I could clean off my hands with anything. I could rub them and they get clean. The real halacha of netilas yadayim, the word netila, by the way, is an Aramaic word that comes from the term natla. Natla is a keli that's machzik revius. It's a keli that can hold a revius of water. The real requirement of netila in the sense of having a revius of water, that requirement is not just for dirt. That's like a special ritual requirement to wash your hands in the morning, for example. There's some ruach ra'a that ends up being on your hands, right? At night, we're worried of a few things. Your hands might get dirty, and there's also ruach ra'a on your hands. Ruach ra'a, you can't get it off just by rubbing it. Ruach ra'a requires the water.
So, like, before you daven, you technically could just, like, clean your hands or wash your hands.
Yes. You're not supposed to daven with dirty hands. You could technically just clean your hands off.
Because I scratch my scalp off.
If you scratch your scalp, so then you should, again, you could just clean off your hands. Again, by the way, scratching your scalp also isn't the same as it used to be. My assumption is that human beings in the year 2019 shower much more often than human beings did, let's say, 300-400 years ago. So our scalps are probably considerably cleaner than their scalps were. Does that make sense?
Mom, must be dirt on your hands? Like, if you just, like, touch your scalp, like, what dirt is on your
hand? The dandruff, the gunk.
So you could just go, like, oh, here's dandruff, and just go, like,
just wipe it off, yeah.
Oh, cool.
This is so nice. So before tefillah...
So again, so before tefillah, it could be that there's a real din of netila. According to some Rishonim, the Gemara says, Erchot benikyon kapai v'asof v'as mizbachach ha-Hashem. The pasuk says, I should really wash my hands. Although the Gemara in Brachas on Daf, where is it? Tesvav, Tezayin. The Gemara says that either batlu netilusa or batlu tevilusa, there are two different girsais in the Gemara that the Balei HaTosfos comment on, which means that at one point of time, they didn't allow you to dab until you did an actual netila. Later on, they were mevatalit. Either that you'd have to go to the mikvah, a man would have to go to the mikvah before davening because of Tumas Keri. They were mevatal that tevila, or batlu netilusa, or they got rid of the ikar din of doing the tilas yadayim before you daven. Nonetheless, some Rishonim say they only were mevatel for Torah, not for tefillah. That's the whole discussion of Tumas Ezra, etc. That's where the Balei HaTosfos go to town on that issue specifically. But again, the real din is I'm not supposed to daven with dirty hands. Because I'm not supposed to daven with dirty hands, so we do netila. There is another requirement, or another, according to some, there's another din of an actual washing of the hands, which is not just a netila, it's just not just nikios, I should say, but it is a full-fledged netila. Okay, so now let's, hello, Ms. Engel. Ms. Engel first, yes.
So one time I was in some sort of context where we were out hiking and we didn't have water, and so I was a teenager, so like, or like in like some sort of context where there are people who are like telling us what to do halachically, and they were saying, like, oh, you know, we don't have any water with us, so you should go to the river, and there's a river right there, and dunk your hands twice and say, Alt, like,
yeah, so that actually is, that's much more real than putting your hands in a paper bag. That actually might work. In other words, again, really the din of Tevilas Yadayim should be in a mikvah, but other bodies of water could purify a person. Half of the Rishonim assume that a woman could go to the mikvah in a river. The Balei HaTosfos in Nedarim and Bechoros, they speak about, actually the Mordechai writes, you know how people think that like the Shidduch world is going crazy today and we ask all these questions that like, why are you interfering in life? So apparently one of the Shidduch questions that they used to ask in the time of the Mordechai was, does the young woman's mother use a real mikvah? Does she go in the river? Because according to many of the Rishonim, right, you thought Shidduch questions were intrusive today. Ha ha ha. But according to many of the Rishonim, going in the river, Rabbeinu Tam said that you can go in the river. Many Rishonim disagreed with the Rabbeinu Tam, so this was like the Shidduch question. So sticking your hands in the river and reciting a brach of Al Tevilas Yadayim or something will work. For Netilas Yadayim, we have a lower standard of what's required for a mikvah than we have otherwise. Because the entire din is a din d'rabbanon. Good? Abigail? Question?
Do you have to, do your hands have to be dry before you do an Tevilas Yadayim?
So, there are some who are machmir that you have to dry your hands before Tevilas Yadayim. Because they're wet, if your hands are wet, that tamei water will remain tamei from beforehand. The only water that was used in the process of tahara can become tahar with mayim shniyim. The tamei water from beforehand can't. Therefore, there are some who have the practice of drying your hands. The Ramah actually in Kuf Samach Beis Seif Aleph calls a practice that some had that they always wash their hands three times. And washing the hands three times, yesh omim dim shayfech hayod of gimel pa'amim, right, that would help, v'chein nahagu lahakel, there was a meaning that the Ramah quotes, to wash your hands three times, and that would solve this problem somehow. The Mishnah Berurah comments that the preferred minhag to be makel is to use a revius of water. Let's just go back to what we were discussing. Hands can become tahar with putting those hands in an area of tahara like a mikvah. The Gemara tells us in Maseches Nazir and elsewhere that the primordial mikvah is a revius of mayim. A revius is what? The rough equivalent, let's say, 3 ounces of water? A little bit less than 3 ounces? A revius of mayim is mitahir. That means that if you wash with a revius of water each time, which we end up doing for sure, no, even the small Netilas Yadayim cups. If I'm not mistaken, when I was at Stern College for Shabbos like 2 weeks ago, they have like a small Netilas Yadayim cup in the Netilas Yadayim room, no? Did any of you notice this, or am I making this up?
Sometimes you use plastic cups.
Maybe they have those plastic cups with like two handles.
No, but sometimes.
If it's a plain plastic cup, so a plain plastic cup I think holds 6 ounces of water. 6 ounces of water is 2 revius.
Yeah.
Right? You should use a revius of water, the Mishnah Berurah says, when you're doing the Tevilas Yadayim, because since a revius has tahara properties in it, so therefore it will make everything tahar, right, without any problems. And the Mishnah Berurah writes that the preferred practice to avoid any problem whatsoever is to use a revius of water. And if you use a revius of water, nothing will ever become tamei, and therefore you don't have to worry about lifting your hands up or whatever is discussed in this Gemara. But let's just review this Gemara for a second. The din is that you have to lift up your hands. Why do you have to lift up your hands? Zakli Gemara, because maybe the water will leave the perek, the water will leave that area that requires netila, and it will come back and will make your hands tummy. Now, the way Rashi learns this Mishnah in Yadayim is as follows. Rashi learns that I'm worried that my first mayim will go, let's say, again, according to Rashi, all I have to do for Netilas Yadayim is until that second knuckle, until the place where, like, I bend my fingers. That's all I have to do. I'm worried, Zot Rashi, that maybe my first mayim will go past that knuckle, but maybe my second mayim will only go until that knuckle. And then that first mayim that went past that knuckle, that first mayim is really tamei mayim, because that water dripped down from the area on top of my knuckle, and that...
Can you ask my question?
Not right now, Yossi. Let me finish the share, then we could ask. But
no, you need to ask them.
But that first mayim became tamei, and that first mayim dripped down, let's say, to the area between that second knuckle and the palm of my hand. The second mayim, according to Rashi, maybe did not go as far as the first mayim. So the first mayim will come back and it will make my hand tamei again. That's the way Rashi learns this Gemara. In other words, according to Rashi, right here, let's read the Rashi inside. Kiditna b'mseches yodayim parak beis mishneh gimel. Shetzach litin hamayim al yado shnei po'amim. Harishonim mitaharim esayadayim. The mayim rishonim makes my hands tahar. V'hashniyim mitaharim esamayim hatofken al yadov. The mayim shniyim makes that water tahar. The water that was moist on my hands becomes tahar with the mayim shniyim. Shenit mutchila machmas yadayim. Utnan hayadayim mitamayis umitaharis ad haperek. Kilomar min haperek ulamata gozer aleim liyo shniyos. Uposes hatruma. Umitaros benetila ada perek, shada perek tzach netila. Notalas harishonim vesashnim ada perek, vechazuli ya tahorim, shareti haru shniyim es harishonim. But if the rishonim go chutz le perek, and the shniyim go ada perek, and then tchozer le yad, so then, according to Rashi, the concern is that the mayim rishonim will come back to the hand and will make that hand tamei. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. Now, what Rashi is implying, or not even so much implying, but saying pretty much beferish, is that if the Mayim Shniyim go to the same area where the Mayim Rishonim went, so then there's going to be no problem whatsoever. The only reason there's a problem is if, here, can you see my hands in the, here, right, if this is my hand, if the Mayim Rishonim goes till here, and the Mayim Shniyim goes less than here, then it's going to be a problem because that Mayim Rishonim might go back. However, I think I just lost somebody. Oh, everyone's back. However, if the Mayim Shniyim and the Mayim Rishonim go to exactly the same area, then according to Rashi, there is no problem. And according to Rashi, let's say my Mayim Rishonim goes all the way down until my elbow. So that could become a problem, according to Rashi, because that water might come back to my hand. So I have to hold my hand up so the water doesn't go back onto my hand. But if the Mayim Shniyim also went until my elbow, so according to Rashi, there's no problem. That is Judaism, according to Rashi. Comes along the Rash Mishans and the Taisus HaRosh over here. By the way, who was the Rash Mishans? When and where did he live?
France.
Let's go, Chevra. Before Moshe Rabbeinu?
In France.
Yeah, I know.
Right, so the Rash Mishans, according to Dr. Soloveitchik, is the third greatest of the Balei HaTaisus. You have the Rabbeinu Tam is the greatest Balei HaTaisus. The Re of Dampierre is number two. The Rash Mishans is number three. The Rash Mishans made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael in the year 1210. Now, we don't know what happened to him afterwards. At some point afterwards, he died, because as far as I know, he's not still alive. Now, the Rash Mishans wrote comments of Tosfos on Mishnayos and Seder Zeraim and Mishnayos and Seder Taharos. He wrote the whole parish of Tosfos on Mishnayos. The Rash Mishants and the Tosfos HaRosh both disagree with Rashi. And the Rash Mishants says, Rashi, Chevra, you're telling me that if Mayim Rishonim goes out of the area that requires Netila, the Mayim Shniim could still be Metaher that Mayim. That's what Rashi learns. In other words, if the Mayim goes all the way to my elbow, the Mayim Shniim can get rid of it. That's Rashi. But the Tosfos HaRosh and the Rash Mishan say no. Mayim Shniim only has the koach if it is in an area that really requires netila. If that area does not require netila, so then the Mayim Shniim has zero effectiveness. So Mayim Shniim might be effective, according to Rashi, only until that second knuckle. Past that second knuckle, Mayim Shniim does nothing. That means if I have Mayim Rishonim that were up at the top and they went down, let's say, until my wrist or until the palm of my hand, wherever it is, so Mayim Shniim can't fix that problem, according to the Tosfos HaRosh. According to the Tosfos HaRosh and the Rash Mishants, the Mayim Shniim is only effective in the area that there's a real requirement of netila. Deep breath. Okay? Should I ask someone to summarize the machlokas between Rashi and the Rash Mishans? Or should I repeat it? Show of hands. Who wants me to repeat it? Or who wants to be the one who repeats it to the whole shiur? See, this is really scary, because no matter what I asked, if anything that you show your hand, you can, like, really get in trouble. There's a hand up. I see Sophia. Sarah, was that your hand up also? That's like half an hour. Does that hand mean that I should repeat it?
I could try.
Sophia, you want to try? Yeah, try to explain to the Chevra.
The Rashi and the Tosfos HaRosh.
Rashi versus the Tosfos HaRosh, right.
Rashi's whole thing is that the whole thing is that we're afraid that you have to do two washings. Can everyone see my hands, by the way?
We see them. We got it.
It's the most important demonstration. Okay. Right, so the whole point is when you put in your first thing of water, that water is going to be tummy. So that's why we have to do a second thing of water to be matahir that water. Right, and the whole thing is you have a certain line where you're supposed to wash until. Now, the question is, okay, what if your first water left the supposed area that you're supposed to wash until? Like, that's a problem, because when you put your second thing of water, and you only water until the place that you're supposed to, you're going to have extra water lying around, which is, then again, going to bring us back to our first problem, that we have water that can be matame things, which is very terrible. So Rashi's like, it's okay, because, like, if let's say your water goes out, let's say your Maya Rishonim goes out to, like, your elbow or mid-arm, whatever. If you pour enough of your Maya Rishonim up until that exact point where the Maya Rishonim went, it's fine, it'll cancel it out. That's the whole thing, is that your second water is able to cancel out whatever happens to the first.
Excellent.
And, yeah?
Yes, so that's Rashi. And what does the Tosfos HaRosh say?
Rashi and the Rosh Mishan say, no, it's not just that, like, your second water has this, like, magical power that can just, like, cancel out the Tuma of Maya Rishonim no matter what, any place, only within the realms of Ad HaPerek, where it's actually supposed to work, then it has its special...
Nachon. In other words, just to put Lumdish terms onto it, according to Rashi, Mayim Shniim is just a way of removing Mayim Rishonim. And therefore, what we spoke about beforehand, if I would just wipe off the Mayim Rishonim, that would do the same thing according to Rashi. There's no din of Mayim Shniim. Mayim Shniim isn't halachic. Mayim Shniim is removal. However, the Tosfos HaRosh and the Rash Mishants, they say that no, that Mayim Shniim is halachic. And only in an area where there was a requirement of netila is there a din of Mayim Shniim. According to Rashi, Mayim Shniyim is not a din. It's not halachic. Mayim Shniyim is what is tummy water removal. It's a very big business. Tummy water removal. That's Rashi. But according to the Tosfos HaRosh, Mayim Shniyim is a halacha of Netila, and therefore for the Tosfos HaRosh, Mayim Shniyim is completely useless when I'm past that area of Netila. Mayim Shniyim on until my elbow, this area, the Mayim Shniyim is not going to do anything because that area doesn't require any Netila. That's a Machlokes Rashi and the Tosfos HaRosh. Now Rashi is very difficult. I gave you two Mishnayos in Yadayim. The first Mishnah in Yadayim, Perek Beis, Mishnah Beis, speaks about if someone does Netilas Yadayim and they are holding a rock. So the Mishnah says that that Netilas Yadayim is invalid. Why is it invalid? It's invalid because the Mayim is only Metaher, or the hand, but it's not Metaher, a stone. If it's not Metaher, the stone that I'm holding, so the water on that stone is Tamei water. If the water on that stone is Tamei water, so it's going to make my hand Tamei again. That's basically the Pashtus in the Mishnah. But according to Rashi, that doesn't really make sense. Because according to Rashi, the Mayim Shniyim will remove the Mayim Yishonim, and therefore even the water that's on that stone, if it's removed, it's not a problem. So everyone jumps up and down, they spit wooden nickels, and they say, my dear beloved Rashi, we love you, you're a great guy and everything, but like, it's just, your comment on Mishnah Gimel is so sad, the whole Yesod of Mishnah Beis. Okay, it's a problem. Basically, Rashi's probably going to have a different pshat in Mishnah Beis, but that's like what we would call advanced Talmud, and we'll leave it for the time being. Did I ever point this out to you? I think the first year I was saying Shir in Stern 2 years ago, so I used that expression, oh, that's advanced Talmud. And like one of the women in the room raised her hand and says, by the way, like this course is listed as advanced Talmud. So like, okay, you got me. But what can we do? Fine. So that's the Gemara according to Rashi and according to Tosfos HaRosh. Good, Chevra? Any questions, or should we go on? Good? Thumbs up? Everyone looks like they're having fun. Okay, that's like you're trying to hold the ceiling up. I got it. Fine. You know, with a giant storm like we have outside, you never know when the ceiling on, you know, 245 Lex might just come crashing down. You got to be careful. Oh, fine, weiter. Zuck the Gemara. Rabbi Avahu. Kala ochel pas below niguv yadayim, kiilu ochel lechem tamei. Shenemar vayyema Hashem kocha yochlu b'nei Yisrael slachmam tamei. Right, the Gemara says if I eat bread without drying my hands, it's like I am eating tamei bread. Okay, why is it that the bread is tamei if I eat bread without drying my hands? Who wants to tell me what Rashi says? Ms. Engel, is that a hand up? Okay, can you unmute yourself and then I'll hear you? Yeah.
It's just not nice. It's like, it's not like it's actually tummy, it's just like, it's not like, it's like, most, it's like gross, right?
It's gross, it's disgusting, exactly. That's what Rashi learns. But if you eat wet bread, it's really disgusting. I mean, what, right? I mean, I don't think that's such a chiddush. That wet bread is disgusting. So Rashi learns you have to dry your hand so the bread won't be disgusting. And Rashi comments, v'chashuv ketum'ah, it's like tum'ah. I think what Rashi means is that on a certain hashkafic level, we should view tum'ah like it's something disgusting. We should avoid tum'ah just like I avoid a davar mo'os. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara, Davar Mios Kari Tuma, that's the Gemara according to Rashi. Okay. The other Mepharshim say that really the Bir Halacha quotes from the Rabbeinu Chananel that The psukim in Parashas Shmini say that food only becomes tamei when the food came in contact with water beforehand. V'chi yutan mayim al zera, right? V'nafa min nevlasa olav tameihu, right? It's only when there is hechsher, only when the food came in contact with water, only then does the food become tamei. So the pshat over here is that ki'ilu oichel lechem tamei, if I eat b'li nigov yadayim, the Rabbeinu Chanan learns, is that if I don't dry my hands, so all the food that I'm going to touch after will now have hechsher lekabel tuma, and then that food can become tamei in the world of tuma and tahara. That is that pshat. However, the Rambam, right, we love the Rambam because the Rambam makes Yiddishkeit exciting. The Rambam, in Perek Vav of Netilas Yadayim, the Rambam writes that drying hands is a chelek of Netilas Yadayim. And for this reason, you know, we have a problem. The Gemara in Psachim on Dav Zayin says that kol ha-mitzvahs mevarchem aleihen over la-asiyosan. You're supposed to make the bracha on every mitzvah before you do the mitzvah, right? This is like the challenge, let's say, when you shake a lulav and esrig, how do you do over la-asiyosan? Because the moment you pick it up, you're yotzei, so that's why you have two options. You could hold the lulav upside down, you could hold the esrig upside down. If you hold the lulav upside down, you might blind yourself, so people try to hold the esrig upside down, right? There's a few you never thought of that one, of holding lulav upside down. No, this is my chiddush. But there's a problem that you have to make a bracha before you do the mitzvah, over la'asi yosan. However, there are certain mitzvahs that I can't make the bracha before I do the mitzvah. For example, if I'm converting to Yiddishkeit, I can't make the bracha before I go into the mikvah, because I can't say, Asher kitcham mitzvah sovetzivanu, I'm not yet Jewish. I can't make a bracha if I'm not yet Jewish. The Bali Atayis' comment that they made a gezeira of all tevila, that that you always make the bracha after you go into the mikvah. So when a woman goes to the mikvah, for example, she recites the bracha after she went into the mikvah. The reason for saying the bracha after you went into the mikvah is like, since the tevila of a ger is done after, it can't be done before, so we make a gezeira shava, tevila, tevila, and Ashkenazi women make the bracha after they go into the mikvah. Sephardi women make the bracha before they go into the mikvah. That's the basic din of over la'asi yasan. Now, the Bali Atayis' Abigail, yeah?
What's the difference between, like, why do they learn it as a gezeira shava and not as, like, a low plug?
I mean, gezeira shava is my fancy words. It's low plug. In other words, that they basically say that all tevila we want to be the same, so you make a bracha after you went into the mikvah in all cases. Okay, now, that's Ashkenazi women. Against Sephardi women assume that they make the bracha before they go into the mikvah, with the exception of a giyores. Now, Ashkenazi women try to do it over la'asi yasan also, because all brachos should be made before you do the mitzvah. So Ashkenazi women do what the Heiliger Gaon Seinfeld called the double dip. No? You go down before making a bracha, you come up, you make a bracha, and you go down a second time. Right? People know who the Gaon Seinfeld is? But they have to... Okay, Baruch Hashem. Fine.
No, I know, but I'm asking about the...
Now,
yeah. Why is the first one not considered?
So why does the first one not make you tahor and then the bracha is a bracha of atala? That's the Dago Meravava's question on the side of Simin Reish. And you have to say something like the woman has in mind that the first tevila doesn't count. I mean, you have to say some lumdis as to solve that problem. It's not pashat. Now, not only is tevila a problem of over la'asi yosan, but often netilas yadayim, you can't make a bracha over la'asi yosan, because if your hands are really dirty, you can't make a bracha with dirty hands. So that's why the Rishonim, again, the same Taisus over there in Psachim on Dav Zayin, they say that the bracha on netilas yadayim is done after you washed your hands. Right? That's what we do, no? Don't we make the bracha after we wash our hands? By the way, there's no obligation to put a ring into your mouth, right? That's like not required. If you're not wearing a ring, you don't have to put a ring into your mouth. I know this is like I'm bursting your bubble. But the basic idea is that we make a bracha after we washed our hands because sometimes our hands would be dirty. What about overlasiyos? Let me just finish the sentence, Sophia, then I'll take your question. What about overlasiyos? And Sarah, I'll take your question also in a second. What about overlasiyos? So many Rishonim comment, and the Rambam has this in Perek Vav of Hilchos Tefillah, where the Rambam is speaking about Netilas Yadayim. The Rambam says, you know what? Drying the hands is also a chilek of the Netilah. And that actually makes a lot of sense, because if Netilas Yadayim is to make my hands clean, hands don't really get clean just when you put water on them. The hands get clean when you dry them off. So the Rambam is going to understand this Gemara of Ochel Beli Niguv Yadayim. It's like you eat Lechem Tamei, in that your hands are still somewhat Tamei until you dry them, because the drying of your hands fully cleanses your hands, and that's what makes the hands fully Tahar. That's the Pshat in the Rambam. So again, so Rashi learns the Gemara based on Mios. The Rabbeinu Chananel learns it based on Hechsher Lekabel Tuma, and the Rambam learns the Gemara based on the fact that drying the hands is considered a chelek of cleaning the hands. Now I could take questions. Ms. Engel? You just unmute
sorry,
yourself.
Her hands aren't dirty today for tefillah and like other things, and why don't we just go back to Over Lasiyatan?
Right. If my hands are not dirty?
I'm saying we said that our hands aren't really so dirty in today's age, so like to wash them for...
Right,
like,
so again, so
why don't I just rub off my hands? And
so this goes back to what Abigail said about low plug. Low plug is that like Chazal made a takana clear across the board, end of conversation. You're right. Technically speaking, my hands might not be dirty, and technically speaking, maybe I should make a bracha before I wash my hands. You should know Rav Schechter, when his hands are clean, makes his bracha al netilas yadayim before he washes his hands. Just because he likes being different. Right? I actually do this Leil HaSeder. Not at Orchatz, because at Orchatz we don't make a bracha. But at Rochtza, I make the bracha before I wash my hands so that my kids ask questions. Like, hey, Abba, what's going on over here? How can you making the bracha before you wash your hands? And then I guess after I make kamotzi and after I eat mor or whatever, then I explain to them what it was all about. Right? That's the basic story.
Is it?
Yes. Is that Elisheva?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't see you, but I could hear you.
Isn't there something about only saying the bracha while your hands are still wet before you dry them?
There is. And that something is what we're talking about now. In other words, according to the Rambam, it still is over la'asiyasan in the sense that I have not yet finished my mitzvah of cleaning my hands. Because until I dry my hands, I haven't yet finished my mitzvah of netilah. That's the way the Rambam learns the Gemara. Absolutely. And that Rambam comes from here, but you see that Rashi learns the Gemara completely different. What else, Chevra? Any other questions? Okay. So that's what the Gemara says about... that's what the Gemara basically says about Netilas Yadayim. Now, the funny thing in this Gemara is this whole Gemara began by taking apart a pasuk in Perek Vav of Mishle. No? We began with that pasuk, Ki ba'ad yishazona ad kikar lechem, right? That the Gemara says, if you eat bread without netilas yadayim, it's like your bal ishazona, right? That's what we understand from the pasuk in Mishle Perek Vav. Then the Gemara goes on to the next pasuk in Mishle Perek Vav. Does the Chevra have like a few more minutes? Can we go on for like 10 more minutes? Thumbs up? Thumbs up, Shira? Okay, excellent. Great. One thumb, two thumbs, whatever. Okay, drumming on the drum. Weiter. So the Gemara says, based on the pasuk, "May be'eshes ish nefesh shikara tatsud." What does that mean? So Amar Reb Chiya bar Abba Amar Reb Yochanan, "Ko adam sheyesh bo gasa saruach lebasof nichshal be'eshes ish." If a person is a baal gaiva, the person will end up being nichshal in having an affair, nichshal in eshes ish. Shenema eshes ish. Nefesh yikara tatsud. The Gemara asks, Amar Rava, one second. That's written backwards. Hai nefesh yikara, nefesh gevoha mibayalei. Nefesh gevoha is gaiva. Va'od hitatsud mibayalei. Doesn't say hitatsud means that she'll get him, she'll be machsho him, right? It sounds like he will take her. It's written backwards. Ela Amar Rava, kolaba eshesish, afil lamad toira. That basically, if a person is born eshes ish, even if the person learns a lot of Torah, and Torah is supposed to protect the person, nonetheless, hitetsudenu ledina shel gehenem. Now, today is actually the Maharsha's yard site. I tell you, I have on my Twitter feed, I have this guy who gives you the yard site of the day, or the many yard sites of the day. So today is the yard site of the Maharsha. We mentioned the Maharsha's Reb Shmuel Edels. He was in Krakow. The name Edels is his mother's name. Edel was actually my great grandmother was named Edel. It was a common Yiddish name. So that's the Maharsha. The Maharsha over here has a comment that Nefesh Gevoha means, he shtels too, he connects it to the Rashi on Yosef HaTzadik. Right? Rashi writes that Yosef HaTzadik is Banos Tzada Alei Shor, that Yosef HaTzadik was Mesalsal B'Sarosav. Yosef HaTzadik was, for lack of a better expression, he was like a pretty boy. Yosef HaTzadik was trying to make himself, like, his hair was all coiffed, and he's like trying to look all fancy. So when a person does that, so the zona will be inclined to try to get to that person. So that's the way the Maharsha understands the Gemara. Again, I wouldn't have said over this Maharsha in general, but I figure today's the Maharsha's yard site, so we should say some Torah from the Maharsha. So Maharsha learns this Gemara of Nefesh Gevoha, or Nefesh Yukara, in the sense of a person who is a person who's not necessarily a baal gaiva, but a person who takes their appearance too seriously, so such a person could end up being nichshal in the iser of arayis, and that's what the Gemara means, even a Yosef HaTzadik, right? Even though the person learned a lot of Torah, etc., nonetheless, the person could still be nichshal. That's what the Gemara says. Okay. Then the Gemara goes weiter. I'm Reb Yochanan. If a person has gasas haruach, it's like your oved avodah zara. It says tov as Hashem kol gevah lev. It says lo tovi to eva el beisecha. The word to eva means avodah zara, and gevah lev is considered to eva. And if a person is gevah lev, so a person is not only oved avodah zara. It's as if the person is kofar beikar. Shenema v'ram levavecha v'shachachta as Hashem al kecha. You'll be a baal gaiva, you'll forget the Ribbono Shel Olam. And then the third approach in the Gemara is that To'eva means it's as if you're baal kol ha'arayis kulam. So gaiva is very bad. Gaiva is like avodah zara. Gaiva is like kofar be'ikar, you forget about the Ribbono Shel Olam. And gaiva is as if you're baal kol ha'arayis kulam. That's what the Gemara says. The Rambam tells us that the beginning of Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph, the Rambam gives us the history of Avodah Zarah, no? In the days of Enosh, people made a big mistake, Zok the Rambam. And people thought, listen, since the Ribbono Shel Olam created the sun and the moon, so obviously the Ribbono Shel Olam feels that the sun and the moon are very powerful, and the Ribbono Shel Olam wants us to respect his creations, so therefore I should worship the sun and the moon. That's what the Rambam writes. Now that ended up becoming Avodah Zarah, because what the people were doing is they're saying, they'll be machlif the boire for the nivra, and people will start actually worshiping the sun rather than worshiping the Ribbono Shel Olam. For the Rambam, davening to any entity besides the Ribbono Shel Olam himself is tantamount to avodah zarah. No, the Rambam has 13 ikarim. Ikar number 5 is that lo levado roi lehispalo, that you're only supposed to daven to the Ribbono Shel Olam. Don't daven to anything else. The Rambam would be opposed to many of the piyutim that we say, right? The Rambam would say, if you sing that song, you're a kofer. Right? Because according to the Rambam, if you're praying to angels to allow the tefillos to go through, that is actual avodah zarah for the Rambam. So, the basic idea over here is that a person who is a Baal Gaiva. So the person is very taken by himself or herself. And such a person is taken by himself or herself and doesn't recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam is the source of everything, that could potentially lead to Avodah Zarah the same way that the Dar of Enosh did Avodah Zarah, by thinking that the sun and the moon have real koach on their own. A person who is very taken by himself or herself could end up violating the Isser of Avodah Zarah, could end up violating the Isser of Arayus. Also, the person's very taken by himself, so the person's going to be into physical pleasure. Once a person's into physical pleasure, they could end up violating all of the Arayos. And the Gemara says it's as if you build a bama, right? Ula Amar, it's ke'ilu bana bama. Right, guys, kids, please be quiet for 2 more minutes. Right, Ula says it's as if you build a bama. A bama is worshipping Avodah Zarah, which was always done on the plateaus. It was done on the high places. Again, it's almost like that high that you feel after you climb a mountain and you look out. But if the Avodah Zarah wanted to attain that feeling, so in order to do that, they would build their Avodah Zarah in a very high place. If a person is a Baal Gaiva, the person thinks of himself or herself as being overly high, so that is the equivalent of building a, that's the equivalent of building a bama. Anything else to say about this, Chavra? Okay, thumbs up, we're good? Now what I'd like to do is, I want to get to the two dots on Hey Amid Beis by Wednesday night. And as Wednesday, I want to read through all this Gemara. There is not that much to say. There's a Cheshek Shlomo, there's a Samag and Mitzvah Samach Dalet that we'll talk about a little bit, but I really want to get to the two dots on Hey Amid Beis, and then from Hey Amid Beis until the next Mishnah is a very Lumdish Gemara. So what we're doing is we're going to go through the Agada to relatively quickly on Wednesday night, Amir to Hashem. And then next week, Monday, we'll begin to get back into Lamdash Gemara as well. Okay, Chavra? You should have a wonderful evening. Try to be safe. Make sure the bears don't eat you outside. Make sure the snow... I mean, Esty's saying that. She's like, this isn't snow. I'm from Denver. You know, we have like 43 feet of snow every Monday. Like, this is garnished. Right? I know exactly that feeling, but...
Wow. Yeah. He's not even exaggerating.
Well, I didn't hear. What did you say?
It snowed 11 inches this last week in Denver.
Right. And the city probably was still alive. And now it snowed like 1.3 inches and like the whole city closed down. Okay. Whatever. I don't know. In Canada, does it snow ever? Okay. A little bit. Occasionally. Rarely. So what can we do, Chavra? So we learned Torah even though it snowed, and the Mirtz Hashem Wednesday night will continue. Okay, have a good night, Chavra.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Good night. Okay, Yosef Dov, are you going to be ready for bed in 5 minutes?
No.
15 minutes?
No.